Thanks a lot for checking out the Church on the Rock message this week. We would love to help you get closer to God. The best way to do that is to visit cotr.org/connect. Or if you are not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
So hold your Bible up. Let's make our confession. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind's alert. My heart's receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came. In Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get stronger, and they get stronger. Let's thank God for the Word today. Amen. Oh, I love the Word, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. What we're talking about, it's time to seek the face of God. And you know, a good speaker tells you what he wants you or she wants you to do, but then they tell you how to do it, right? Every sermon in every church, if it's a Bible-believing church, should be teaching the Word. What does the Word say? What should we be doing right now? But then also not just what we should be doing, but how do we do that? You know, I grew up in a wonderful church background denomination, but most of the time it was telling me what to do, but I wanted to know, well, how do I do that? How do I make that simple? How do I make it practical? I got to go back to work or school or life tomorrow morning. How do I get to work what I heard on Sunday on Monday? And that's what I try to do every Sunday, every Wednesday for y'all. So y'all praying for me, amen? Spiritual hunger. You ever think about this, that when you lose your appetite, it's usually because you're sick. So in the natural, when I lose my appetite, it's really I'm sick. There's something wrong with me. In the spiritual, if I lose my appetite, there's something spiritually wrong with me. Everybody who is a thriving, growing Christian should be hungry for more of God. The sad thing is, not here, but most Christians are content. They're satisfied with just enough. I don't want just enough. You and I aren't average people, Christians, or a church. You and I want all that God has, and we want all of Him that we can have. Amen. So we're not satisfied where we're at with our walk with Him. Again, when I lose my appetite in the natural, usually it's because I'm sick. If I've lost my appetite for more of God and a hunger for the Word of God, for the things of God, then I'm spiritually sick. And I need to look at what's going on in my life, make some adjustments so I can be spiritually healthy. Amen? So that's what this series is all about, because you and I want more. You and I want to grow in God. We want to know God. Like Pastor Kim said in her prayer today, that prayer was awesome, Ephesians chapter 1, to know God better. You know, we never want to be satisfied, right? There's always another level, right? You know, just for an example, you know, this last week, I just sent some of our staff to Orlando, Florida, to be with John Maxwell and a bunch of other high achievers for what they called high capacity leaders. There were NFL players, there were CEOs, it was like a round table. There was only just a few people there. It wasn't open to the public. It cost a lot of money. You had to do a report, a 200-word page report. You had to qualify to be in this high capacity group leader setting. I sent two of our staff from Espanol down there this last week to be with them. Why would I do that? Because I want them to learn, come back, and help us learn and grow and be better in serving God and serving others and running our course and fulfilling our purpose. Amen. So in the natural, Maxwell calls it high capacity leaders. I want to be a high capacity believer. I want more. I want to achieve more. I don't want to be average. I want to be a champion like my hero sitting down here in the front row this morning. I want to be a champion for Christ. I want to be the best I can be, spiritually fit. I know y'all do too. You're in the gym, by the way. You're in the gym here this morning. Amen. Okay? So let's get right into it. If you're ready, I'm ready. Two of you are ready. Okay. Praise God. All right. So what you're hungry for determines your destiny. What you're hungry for. Now, some of the things you're going to have to think on, go home and meditate on this week, but what you're hungry for determines your destiny. Whoa, that's a powerful statement. We don't have time to dig on it today, but when is a good time to seek God? Because again, most people are too busy for God. They have no time for God. Church maybe once a month, especially after COVID. Habits changed, culture changed, life changed. Nothing is like it was. But most people don't have time to seek God. But let's ask the question, when is it a good time to seek God? What I came up with was, number one, when you're feeling overwhelmed and hopeless, that's a good time to seek God. Not run from God, but run to God when you're feeling overwhelmed and hopeless. In other words, have you ever been just where you were fed up with life? Fed up? I have. Kim and I, we were. Years and years ago, back before we went to the ministries, we just had enough of each other and enough of life. We were just fed up to here. Something had to change. I'm talking to somebody today. That something has got to change in my life, Pastor. I'm fed up with the way my life is going. That's a good time to seek the Lord. Number two, when's a good time to seek God? When material blessings leave you empty. You know what I'm talking about. Boy, if I just get that house, and then you have to pay the taxes, the insurance, right? All that comes with it, you go, oh, I wish I was back where I was before. We think the car, the house, the prestige, the salary, the status, the sex, the symbols will make us happy. And once we get it all, we're left empty. Well, that's a good time. That's a good time to fill that emptiness with God. Number three, when's a good time to seek God? When you have hard questions that nobody can answer. Boy, I told you my story when my brother died. You know, the church was praying for him. We were fasting for him, but he died. And I got offended at God. I got mad at God. I asked the people in the church, why this happened? Well, we don't really know. God just took him home. Well, that didn't satisfy my hard question. So I got offended at God, got mad at God, kind of walked away from God for a while, but thanks be to God, eventually I got the right picture of God. Yeah. So when's a good time to seek God? When I don't know my purpose. When I don't know my purpose, I don't know why I'm here. I live frustrated, agitated, never happy, never satisfied, trying this job, trying that job, this relationship, that relationship, this institution, that church, this career, and I'm never satisfied. I really don't know my purpose. I don't know my strengths. People put me in a box. I don't know the direction my life should take. You know what? It's a good time to seek God. Number five, when should I seek God? When I begin to get a correct picture of God. I was offended at God when my brother died, mad at God, but then one day I realized that God wasn't to blame, that God wasn't behind that. That there's a devil out there who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came to give you life, and life more abundantly. When I began to get a correct picture of God, that God was for me, that God loved me, that God believed in me, when no one else did, I found out God believed in me, and that God was for me. And that God had a plan for my life. When I realized he was a good God, I started running towards him. I wanted to be with him. I wanted to hang out with him. I wanted to make time for him. I wanted to get to know him when I had a correct picture of God. Okay? So what I want to do then, we're supposed to seek the face of God. How do we do that? Let me give you seven practical ways to seek God. Seven practical ways to seek God. I like to make it practical, okay? So here's seven ways. Number one, put God first before anything or anyone. Put God first before your children, your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your career, your hobby. put God first. This is how I see God. Put God first before anything or anyone else. Practical, but hard to do for a lot of people. Number two, make time for him daily. This is how I seek God. Make time for him daily. What's important to me, I make time for. What's important to me, I make time for. If church is important to me for my family, I make time for it. If working out for me is important to me, and it is, because I want to live long, I make time for it. If my relationship is important to me with Pastor Kim, and it is, I make time for it. If my children and my grandchildren are important to me, and they are, I'll make time for them. So if God is important to me, and I want to know him, and to seek him, I'm going to have to make time for him daily. Number three, seven practical ways to seek the face of God. I'm going to have to prepare my heart to seek God. How many of you have found out trying to counsel somebody with a rebellious heart? It doesn't. Y'all to fill in the blank. You're awesome. It just doesn't work. You ever tried to counsel somebody who was angry? Doesn't work. In fact, Proverbs says don't even deal with an angry person. Don't even try to counsel a person with a wrong heart because it won't work. You know, I've counseled a lot of people in 40 years here, and the people that I helped are the people who had a right heart when they came to see me. And the people I couldn't help are the people who had a wrong heart. They were offended, mad, angry, resentful, hiding something. They weren't honest with themselves, others, and God. So for me to seek God, and that's what our praise and worship is for, the 20 minutes, because the world sucks right now. Can I just say that? I guess I said that. You know, negative, critical, angry, political, racism, bigotry, lying, cheating, all the above is going, I mean, like never before. So I'm going to have to clean my heart up. I'm going to have to take a shower spiritually every day, right? So when I come to church, those 20 minutes, that's for you and I to prepare our heart. That's what that's for. It's to prepare the heart so when I teach the word, it falls on good soil. So that's why I encourage you from front to back, and y'all are doing awesome. From side to side, enter into worship because that's part of your transformation. Because the word that I teach will bounce off of you, and you'll walk away and say, church, I got nothing out of it. It's because your heart or my heart wasn't prepared to receive the word of God. So seeking the face of God, I've got to prepare my heart. This morning, I'm in the shower singing. Pastor Kim's getting ready. She's listening to me sing, praying for me. And I'm singing in the shower. And what am I doing? I prayed 1 John 1:9 this morning. I prayed 1 John 1:9. What's that? If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me of all my sin. Do Christians sin? Is the Pope Catholic? Prepare my heart. So practical ways. Did I lose some of you right there? I have to prepare my heart to seek God. I have to get rid of all anger, strife, offense, malice, envy, jealousy, entitlement, self-pity. I've got to get rid of all of that to seek God's face. Number four, practical ways to seek the face of God. Think about him often throughout the day. Think about him. Question to ask ourselves, how often do we think about God? I heard this one-liner one time. Stop every day and look at the size of your God. Stop every day throughout the day and look at the size, not of your problems, obstacles, but your God. How often do we just, when we get stressed out, you know, we should back away, get in a state of being calm, cool, and collected. That's confidence. Calm, cool, collected. And just begin to think about God. What do I think about? How good he is. How great he is. Think about his names. Think about how good he's been to you on the way in. You know, I live 30 minutes away from church, have for for 40 years, okay? So every time on my way this morning, coming into church, I'm just praising God. I'm just thanking Him for you, thanking Him for Church on the Rock, thanking Him for all He's allowing us to do, thanking Him for my family, thanking Him for, I'm just thanking Him. I'm thanking Him for my salvation. I'm thanking Him for Jesus. I'm thanking Him for, seriously. So just think about Him often throughout the day, and that's how you seek the face of God. We're going to look at a scripture in just a minute. It says that the wicked, for the wicked, God is not in their thoughts. For the wicked, God is not in their thoughts. That's in Psalm, okay? So number five, am I helping anybody make it practical? I mean, we can use this tomorrow morning. Okay, so how do I seek the face of God? Talk to Him and about Him to others. Talk to Him and about Him to others. Here's what I found out in my walk. The more that I lift up Jesus, there seems to be a greater anointing on my life. Because, you know, He is the anointed one, right? Christ, the anointed one. Christ means the anointed one. So He is the anointed one. So think about this. The more we sing about Jesus, the more we praise Jesus, the more we talk about Jesus. You know, think about ministries that are constantly saying, Jesus is Lord. If we lift Him up, He'll draw, right? And so it's really important, isn't it, that think about it now, because, you know, the more we talk to Him and about Him to others, it does make sense. There'll come a greater anointing on your life. Ooh, I like that. I like that. That was worth brushing my teeth and flossing this morning. Okay? Number six. How do I seek the face of God? I look for ways to honor Him. I look for ways to honor Him. Boy, honor has gone out the window today. Honor. Now, don't anybody get mad. Don't anybody get, say, I love my pastor. See, if you don't, you can't go to heaven if you don't love your pastor, right? Okay, so like if I'm walking in the lobby today and I come up and shake your hand, but you don't take your face from your phone to look at me, I take that as dishonor. Am I right, Ron? Am I right? Ron's down here saying, am I right? I mean, my mom and dad taught me, you know, that when someone comes up and talks to you, you look them in the eyes and you look them in the face, and that shows honor. Now, that's not to get on anybody's case, but here's what I know. Here's what I know. Been a Christian for a long time, been here 40 years. People who don't honor one another don't honor God. Oh, Pastor, I don't believe that. Well, didn't He say that if I don't love one another, I don't love God? Didn't He say that? It's in the Bible. So pick that same principle that if I don't know how to show honor to one another, and there's a lack of honor out there today like never before, a lack of respect. Just go through a drive-through window. Hello? Come on, just go through what do you want? You know. Okay, we're not even going there. Okay, I get on a soapbox there, but am I making sense? You look for ways to honor God, like giving God the tithe. That's honoring Him. Giving God time, that's honoring Him. Giving God praise, that's honoring Him. Serving on serve day, those people were honoring the Lord. So the more that I look for ways to honor Him, I'm seeking His face. I'm seeking His face. Seven practical ways. It helps me. I hope it helps you tomorrow morning. Number seven, look for ways to obey and please Him. You get closer to God through obedience. Doesn't the Bible say that obedience is better than sacrifice? Whoa. So I can do all kinds of sacrifices, looks like sacrificing, but if I'm not obeying God, then God doesn't receive those acts of sacrifice. He doesn't receive every gift, by the way. And the Bible says that He wants obedience over sacrifice. So, bottom line, I get closer to God every time I obey Him. So when I obey Him with the little things, go to church, serve God, pay my tithe, share my faith, love my husband, honor my wife, work hard, be a good employee. Can I stop right there? Every time I obey God, I'm getting closer to God. And I don't want to try to obey him with the big things if I haven't obeyed him with the little things. So I want to look for ways. This is how I seek the face of God. It's not being religious, and don't get me wrong, it's not rubbing a bead or saying certain things or going certain places at certain times or certain postures. You know, that's more than that. It's more than that. It's obeying God in that still small voice. It's obeying God when nobody's around. It's obeying God in the little things. And looking for ways to please God, to please him. I love Pastor Kim, so I want to please her, okay? I love you, so I work hard to please you with homily, a sermon, a message. I work very hard to please you because I love you. The proof is in the pudding. 40 years in one city, you don't stay in one city if you don't love that city, okay? So you look for ways to obey and ways to please him. Those are seven ways. Did y'all get them? The seven ways on how to seek the face of God. Now, let's get into the word real quick. Psalm 128, verse 1. How joyous are those who love the Lord and bow down low before him. That's humility. Ready to obey him. Oh, how joyous. Daniel sang about the song of the joy of the Lord today. How joyous are those who love the Lord and bow down low before him. That's humility. And ready to obey him. Oh, obedience and joy. Here's what I found in my life. When I disobey God, now you probably don't, but I do. And I blow it. And when I disobey God, you know what? I don't feel that joy in my relationship with him. But every time I obey him, there's a joy in that relationship. So notice that joy and obedience are connected. So the more I obey God in just the little things, the greater joy I'll have. I won't need cocaine. I won't need meth. I won't need that smelly stuff. What is that? I smell everywhere now. Weed. Well, there's a lot of sick people now lately. Have you found out? I got more colds. Your reward. Oh, there's a reward in seeking the Lord. There's a reward in seeking the Lord. Your reward will be, now religious people are going to throw rocks at me right now. Your reward will be prosperity. Your reward will be happiness. And your reward for you and your family will be well-being. Now religious people are going to throw rocks at us for that. But let them throw, because that's the word right there. Right there. Your wife will bless your heart and your home. Your children will bring you joy. Well, some of you need to claim that over your kin, over your children, over your grandchildren. Your children will bring you joy as they gather around your table. Yes, this is God's generous reward for those who love him or seek him. Whoa. See, whatever you love, you're passionate about. You're obsessive. I shared with you 2 weeks ago, I am not just an average pastor, teacher. I'm not an average Christian. I'm obsessive. Being obsessive is focus, determination, passion. Like Kobe Bryant. You know, Kobe Bryant said his love for the game created his passion for the game. Kobe said, I love to smell the smell of a basketball. Many of you have heard his talks where he talks about that. I love to put on new tennis shoes. I love to hear the squeak of the tennis shoes on the wooden floor. This is Kobe Bryant. Because of his love for the game, he had a passionate drive, diligence to the game. If I'm really in love with God, then I'm passionate. I'm obsessive about the things of God. Yes, this is God's generous reward. There's a reward for seeking the face of God who love him. That you may be surrounded by your grandchildren, happiness to you and happiness to Israel. Psalm 105, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Y'all been doing that. Sing psalms unto him. Talk about his wonderful works. Glory to his name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. So notice, seeking God and rejoicing are connected. Obedience and joy is connected, and seeking the Lord and joy is connected. It goes back to how I started my homily today, doesn't it, my sermon? That if I lose my appetite in the natural, it's a sign I'm sick physically. So if I lose my appetite in the spiritual, not hungry for God, not hungry to serve, not hungry for church, for the family of God, not hungry for any of that, then it's a sign that I'm spiritually sick and I need a checkup. Amen. Glory to his holy name. Let the heart of them that seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Notice, seeking God is connected strength from God. So the more I seek him, the stronger I should become. Oh, I like that. Y'all see the connection? Joy, happiness, prosperity, strength. Whoa. I think that covers everything we're looking for today. Remember his works that he's done, his wonders, his judgments out of his mouth. Now, we're going to skip through the Passion Translation, and let's go to Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, and those that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So circle that word diligently, because that's a definition of being obsessive. But why do you go to church all the time? Oh, I see you going to church dragging your kids, and why do you do that? Why don't you go golfing or hunting or fishing? How come you're not going to sports? Because I am all in. I am obsessive. This is not an interest to me. Yeah, that's why. Diligently. So say diligently. Okay, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to hurt you, but give you a hope and give you a future. Then you'll call on me, you'll come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me. Well, right there it is. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with half your heart, all of your heart. See, basketball had all of Kobe's heart. And so he was passionate, obsessive about basketball. So I would call him a high-capacity sports person, right? Leader, okay? So look at Acts 17:24. God who made the world and everything in it, where there were no creation, he's the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor does he worship with men's hands as though he needed anything. Verse 26, he's made from one blood every nation to dwell on the face of the earth, and he has determined your pre-appointed time that you would live and the city that you would dwell in, the state and the county. Whoa, God don't make junk, and God made you with a purpose on purpose. Verse 27, so that you would seek the Lord in hope that you grope for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. So he's not far from any of us. Isn't that good to know? Pastor, I don't feel God today. Who moved? Who moved? Now, here's what I know. I was listening yesterday to the physical trainer of Michael Jordan, the guy who trained Michael physically, okay? He has a series you can purchase online. I've been listening to it for months. And one of the things that he said was that Michael was always asking him, what do I need to add, or what do I need to delete to go to the next level? Every time you add something in your life, you've got to delete something. What do I need to delete to get me closer to God? Because God hasn't moved, it's been me. Maybe I'm spending time scrolling on social media that I used to read my one-year Bible with. Oh, now you're going to meddling, Pastor. Okay, we'll move right along. But I'm giving you an example, right? There's always something I have to delete to go to the next level. There's always something I have to subtract if I'm going to add. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They've done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Psalm 14:2. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any that understand and what? Seeking God. Who's God looking for today? Those who will seek him. Who's God going to pick? Who's God going to promote? Who's God going to bless? Who's God going to favor? Who's God going to deliver? Who's God going to reconcile? Those who seek him. Do you all see the importance of the series, Seeking the Face of God? Whose marriage is he going to reconcile? Whose child is he going to bring home? Whose life is he going to transform? Those who seek him. Who's he going to favor? Who's he going to promote? Who's he going to give an open door to? Those who seek him. He rewards those who have time for him. Oh, praise God. So Psalm 10:4, as the team comes, the wicked through their pride of countenance will not seek God. God is not in all their thoughts. Do you remember the seven ways to seek the face of God? One was put God in your thoughts throughout the day. Right here, the wicked don't. But those who seek God and want to be obsessive and not just an interest, not average but above average, high capacity Christians, put God in their thoughts. They're thinking about God. But the wicked, your neighbor, those you work with, go to school with, that don't know God, they're not thinking about God. They don't got time. God's not even in their thoughts nowhere, according to this. That's why they can't understand you when God is in your thoughts. Psalm 34, verse 10, and we'll quit with this. Even the strong and the wealthy grow weak and hungry. But those who, we read diligently earlier, right? And in the Amplified, it says earnestly. So God's looking for high-capacity Christians that he can just do good for. Even the strong and the wealthy grow weak and hungry, but those at Church on the Rock all over the world watching who... My mic is going in now. See how the devil doesn't want you to hear this? But those who passionately pursue the Lord... Thank you. Y'all hear me now? But those who passionately pursue the Lord will never lack any good thing. Seeking God breaks a poverty spirit off my life. Seeking God brings a spirit of lack, never having enough, robbing from Peter to pay Paul, head barely above the water, just barely making it. When I get serious with God, that breaks off my life. I'm done. If you got something, give the Lord a praise. Glory to God. Let's thank God for the word today. Hallelujah, Father. We receive it. We believe it. We act on it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I just got to praise him for a few minutes, folks. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, I pray in the Spirit. I pray in English. I pray in Spanish. I pray in my whatever language right now. I worship you. I thank you. I magnify you. God, this has fallen on good ground, good hearts, great people, making a difference, high capacity, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. This is our day. This is our hour. This is the time to seek the face of God. This is the time to go all in, no compromise. This is the time. So, Father, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one moving, Christians praying. First, let me talk to my online, metaverse, virtual reality. Those all over the world watching on God TV, 1.6 billion. Those in all the different venues, all the different cities, all the different. Those of you right now watching, you say, Pastor Blunt, I need God. I want God. Maybe you're the one who feels hopeless. Maybe you're the one, a high achiever, and in the natural, you've got everything, but you're empty. Maybe you're the one like me that you have hard questions nobody can answer. Why the rape? Why the abortion? Why the alcoholic father? Why the incest? Why this? Why that? Bad things. Why? Maybe that's you. But wherever you are right now, you say, Pastor, I need God. I want God. Or maybe you already know God, but you say, I need to reset my life. Pastor, I don't want to be an average Christian. I want to be obsessive. I want to go all in. I want to see what God can do with somebody totally committed to Him. If that's you, punch the button on your iPad, computer, or smartphone. Faith is an act. You got to do something and pray with me in just a moment. And if you need further prayer, we have people standing by. Here on this campus, you'd say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not going to call you forward. I wouldn't do anything to embarrass you, but faith is an act, and heaven is watching. You got to do something. You say, Pastor, that's me. I need God. I want God. I want to go all in. I want to surrender my life totally. I want to commit. I want to find out what God can do to a life totally committed to you. Pray for me. Or, Pastor, I'm a believer. I'm born again, but I need to adjust. I need to subtract. I need to delete. I need to make some changes. I need to recommit. If that's you, wherever you're at, in every section, just lift your hand up high. Wave it at me. Would you right now, everybody, just heaven's watching. Faith is an act. God bless you. God bless you. Put your hand up high. Keep it up. Faith is an act. Be bold. God will honor that. You could put your hands down. All right, church, let's help everybody. Let's all pray this prayer from the New Testament, Romans chapter 10. Here we go. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. I repent of my sin. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for me, and He rose again. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. I'm all in. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and take my life and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you like to keep growing in your faith? At Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's learning more about discovering what it means to join a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/connect. where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you are part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.